I want to welcome the other campuses of Springs Church today. It's so good to have you with us, and we're going to have a great time as we go into God's Word. We've started something new here at Springs, and that is that behind me you'll see a number to ask questions. As I begin to go through my messages, it often brings questions out that I don't have time to answer. People will often say, why didn't you talk about this? I said, watch me. I usually prepare four times more than I could ever speak, and they got to shut me down or I'll go on for hours. And so the questions, what's really interesting is last Sunday we started, and did you know that when you go to YouTube, the Q&A video has more hits than the message? So go figure, but it seems to have struck a chord, and today during the message, if there's a question that you have that pertains to you or something that you don't understand or you just want to ask it, send it to that number, and this afternoon, I will sit down. Last time it took me half an hour to go through the questions, and I would love to have a crack at it and maybe hopefully help you in some little way that'll help you to move on in this area. I'm going to title my message today, You Have One Life, But Two Stories. One life, but two stories. In Psalms 139, I'm going to read from there right now. I'm going to be bouncing around my notes to the poor person who's on CG and has to follow me with the notes. Let's go to Psalms 139. I can't even find it in my notes. You got it up there yet? Psalms 139. There we go. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. It says that my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book. Notice the word book. They all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Okay, we'll stop there. I've studied the Bible my whole life. I started as a youth pastor 39 years ago. And I've only found three books that heaven holds. Three books. The first book is the book of life, that people who don't know Christ will have it checked to see if they're written in the book of life. Have they given their lives to Christ? There's a book of works that is only for those who have given their lives to Christ, and God is keeping track of all that you do for Him. And I have no idea what, but there will be an awards ceremony in heaven. And people will be rewarded, whatever that looks like. I don't even know what that looks like. It says even a glass of water given has been written down. Someone poured this water and walked it up here and set it here. And an angel recorded in the book of works that a volunteer gave a glass of water. That's to the degree that God is tracking how giving we are in our actions. So there's a book of works. The only other book I have found in my study is the Psalms 139 book that we just read, that it says that God's got a book on you, that He wrote it, and that this biography is all good. Every day of your life is written good. He has written no bad into it. On this fallen world, if something evil comes into your world or you don't know how to defend yourself, etc., etc., and you come to God, it says He will, according to Romans chapter 8, cause all things to work together that the devil's trying to destroy you with. So God's not into the bad stuff, but He is into taking the bad stuff that you've experienced and gone through, and life's got stuff, I'm telling you. And you trust Him. He says He'll make it good. But this book, it just says every day of your life has been written. I got a friend who's a master storyteller. He has written movies, won awards all over the world. When this man gets his brain on a story, and we're working right now on a couple of movies together, and he just starts to flesh something out, and I just sit there and just in awe as this story that he begins to build is incredible. It's beautiful. It's so connected. It grabs my imagination. It grabs everything in me, and I'm going, oh, man, I wonder if that gift came from God, how God could fashion a story and what that book looks like. You know, I buy a ton of books. I'm talking my book, oh, my budget is wild, because it's about an average of a book a day, and that's not my fiction, and I read a lot of fiction for fun. So I love books, and I hate books. Have you ever bought a book, and you open that stupid thing up, and the title's a great seller? And then you go, blah, 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 blah. And you turf it in the garbage. There's $20 down the drain because it's just a pathetic book. Who, you know, everyone wants to write a book today. Woo-hoo. Some need to, and others who knows why. But if God wrote a book on you, I promise you, Louis L'Amour won't touch it. Wilbur Smith won't touch it. Vince Flynn won't touch it. Your favorite author won't touch it. Wouldn't have a touch the book that's written on you. And you may as well not call it a book. It may as well be a movie script. Because it's the book you're going to live out. It's the script that you should follow. But the problem is, according to Romans chapter 8, that when people give their lives to Jesus Christ, they've got choices. You can be focused. You can focus your mind on the flesh. And that means on the limited thinking of your fleshly body, the limited thinking of your five senses, which is in your mind, attached to your body. And if you are fleshly minded, carnally minded, earthly minded, they all mean the same thing, then it says it's death. It's just death. What do you mean it's death? It's death. But if you are spiritually minded, it is life, it is peace. There's a whole new script for you if you become spiritually minded and you get into God's word and you believe the promises, you believe the great exchange that took place at the cross when Jesus died for you, when he was buried and he went to hell for you, when he rose again, when he went to the right hand of the Father, and there's an exchange of his life, his righteousness, his purity, his everything about him is exchanged. And he takes your sin, your heartache, your hurt, your failures, your loss, your weakness, your cowardice. He takes it all and he exchanges it. So this great exchange, when you begin to realize it, and then you begin to look to God and say, there's a script about my life I want to follow. It's your choice. The devil is not the problem today. The devil's been defeated. However, stop playing in his field. Well, he's not that good. Listen, your IQ might be 100. I don't know what your IQ is. If you're the best thing that ever walked the planet, let's give you 160. I don't think anyone's ever been 160. The devil would have an IQ of about 20,000. What you talking about? He's been around for centuries and thousands of years. He's the original. He's got the whole Bible memorized. He used it on Jesus. He understands human ways. He understands sexual issues, drug issues. He understands low self-worth. He understands how to destroy marriages, homes, careers. He knows how to destroy future generations, your kids, your grandkids. He knows how to try to get you selfish and stuck in that. This dude is incredibly brilliant. He's just crazy. And your only hope to defeat him is to submit to God, then resist the devil. Doesn't say resist the devil. You nothing. You ain't got enough IQ to muck with his lowest demon. But in Christ, you are more than conquerors. In Christ, he hasn't got a hope. So we must submit ourselves to the word of God, to the presence of God. We must become born again. But I'm noticing how many born again people give their lives to Jesus Christ and they go back into works. The most important thing you can do when you've given your life to Jesus Christ is discover who you are, not what you do. Who you are is more important than what you do. Yeah, but you know, I got a few problems. Big deal. Once you find out who you are, the problems go away because the strength of Christ rises up in you and nothing can withstand. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith and anything in the world. So let's look at it this way. I mean, you know, one of the hardest things to teach people is how to die to self, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. So I'm going to share this today by looking at two movie scripts. The one is the way you were raised, the fallen world, the limitations of this world, the heartache, the pain of failed marriages, health, sin, etc. There's a whole script that has been written by you, your parents, your grandparents, the pastors you listen to, the culture, the color of your skin, what they think has all helped develop a movie script for you that you will follow and never be able to get free unless you allow God to bring a rewritten script into your life that you can follow a new script. That's why he says in Romans chapter 12, it says there, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He literally means by a new movie script for you, where you walk out new things in marriage, new things in health, new things sexually, new things financially, new things with character and courage and values and that helps the kingdom of God advance. There's a new you because you're born again. When you're born again, you ain't born again for the old script. You're born again for the new script. You're not born again and stay in the old movie. You're born again for a new movie. You're not born again with the same problems and issues and that same junk going on in your life. You're born again to be an overcomer, born of God, the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. What is wrong with us sometimes? So Romans 8 comes along and says, but to you Christians, if you focus to be carnally minded, focused on your five senses, your brain, your mind, your failures, your past, your issues, what's going on around you, you just think worldly, in this world, and you don't have thoughts. You know, last week I talked about the entire book of Ecclesiastes, how under the sun, it's all vanity, it's pain, it's worthless, it's stupid, your whole life's meaningless under the sun. But above the sun that is shining on this planet is the throne room of God, where you are seated with Jesus, positionally. And so you've got a choice. You go ahead and walk out your old movie, that pathetic thing that leaves us all limited, depressed, angry, making excuses, blaming others, that's self-worth down the toilet, this cowardice that rises up in all of us, every one of us. You know, people say it's okay if you talk to yourself. Just don't answer. Actually, there is two of you. Let me explain that. Your mind focused on your flesh and your excuses and your limitations is the most pathetic thing. You hate him. I hate him. But yet how quickly we divert to our old thinking, our old script, the old movie. You know, in my life, I try hard to keep the old script out, because I'm such a jerk when I'm in it. Come on, let's just get really real for a minute. So are you. Nobody can stand you when you go selfish. No one can stand you in selfish mode. No one can stand you in self-centered mode. No one can stand you in excuse mode. Nobody can stand you when you're making excuses and blaming everybody else. It's an awful, stinking, sucky place to live. But you as a believer can live there. You can stay there the rest of your life. Born again, spirit-filled, Bible there with a brand new focus for your life, and you're sitting in an old movie script and oh, woe is me, and everyone else has more. My skin color is wrong. My sexual orientation is wrong. My parents are wrong. My dad is wrong. Who I married is wrong. And look what they cost me in my life, and look how bad my life is. And it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault. You, and you too. You hurt me a lot too. You suck. Like, no one can stand you. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Which I? That self-centric, pathetic, excuse-making, hurting, angry. Me is dead. Said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, this new movie script that I've got ahead of me, that I can play the part of an overcomer, filled with joy, an overcomer. I'm healed, blessed, prosperous, doing something in my... This new script It says, I'm living in, by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Listen to me. If I can't get anything across to you today, I'll just tell you this. You in one of those two scripts right now. You walking out some movie and there's only two. One is focused on your flesh and your limitations and everybody else's limitations around you. See, when I follow the flesh and I look at you, you self-serving, pathetic, egotistical, narcissistic, it's always about you. It's all, I'm right. Now you can look back at me, same stuff. You narcissistic thing, you pastor, you think you it, you know, and you're right. But do you really want to live in all of the things I'm working on rather than live in who I am, my new identity, and what I can do? Because Jesus looks at me and he says, yeah, dude, you got a few things to work on, but I believe in you. That's why you're there. And I've died for you. And I got a life for you. And I wrote a movie script for you. And I want you to rise up. And I want you to get the strengths of the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to learn to love people like I love people. And I want you to understand that the Ten Commandments have been changed to a language of love, which is a higher. And he looks at you, and when you are spirit-minded, you see people the same way. You look at people differently. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to roll over and let them do anything they want to you and abuse you and hurt. No. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a whole other topic. We're just talking about you and me right now. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The mind, Romans 5, I'm just flashing through different spots. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, which is the law of love. When you're not loving, you're not subjected to God's law. When you're not believing in people, when you're not rising up and seeing them through God's eyes, there's no law of love. It goes on and on. Teaching and explaining this. If you don't begin to believe in the people around you, you will lock them into a cell of your making, at least in your relationship. Give you an example. Let's say we have a relationship, you and I look at you, and I just think you a loser. I just think you're narcissistic. It's all about yourself. You just think, now, in our relationship, I have now put you in a cage. I have locked the door, and I've thrown away the key because I've judged you. Bible says don't judge. Why don't you judge? Because the Bible says you don't know the heart and the motives of people. Now you do know their actions and you should live according to their actions. The last time I met this guy, he punched me. So I'm not meeting with that guy. Well, Leon, if you love, shut up. No, I'm not meeting with him. He punched me the last time. Unless God writes it on the wall, Leon, meet with him. His track record says he's too violent, he's not safe, I'm not even meeting with him. I don't have to say he's evil. He's not a Christian. He's a bad guy at heart. No, I don't judge his heart. I don't need to. I just judge his actions. So when you start judging someone's heart, you are determining who they are. The motives, the intentions of their heart. You label them with your label. And when you do that, you have put them in a cage in your relationship. Now, if they're weak, they'll accept your diagnosis of them and live on that cage for every relationship. But if they're strong, there's nothing they can do about your relationship. Because it's your opinion, it's your judgment, and they're locked away in this cage. But they can walk out the back in every other relationship. They can defy and refuse to be judged by you, and you determine who they are because you don't, God does. Am I helping anybody? Now, you've got decisions to make with this movie. You can go on and live this failure movie with all of your faults and all of your problems. And guess what? I've got as many as you, and you've got as many as me. And the issue is that when you've got two movie scripts that are in front of you, and you go to the left movie script, which is to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, worldly minded, limited minded, you begin to walk that out. You're walking out a new movie script. And by the way, you're good at that one too. All the past weaknesses, all the past judgments, all the past hurts rise up. You know, there's a car that, I don't know if they still make these cars, but when I was a kid, one of my favorite cars was mom and dad would buy you a car, and it had a little motor in the wheels. And if you wanted to get that car going, you just run across, you know, the carpet going, vroom, 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 and you let this thing go, and then it dies down. You get to, I love those things, but it reminds me of the flesh. When you focus on your flesh, your judgments, what you think, the past, what you believe, that you're in the fleshly world, you're going, rim, 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 and then it just takes off. Now you're saying things, doing things, you're causing heartache and hurt all over the place, and your life sucks because you're fleshly minded. But when that flesh begins to get some momentum, man, can you cause a lot of devastation and hurt? Just look straight ahead. Nobody will know I'm talking right to you. But every time I point a finger, I got three pointing at me, so you're okay. We got choices, two movie scripts. The mind set on the flesh, the mind set on the spirit. Now, when your mind is set on the spirit, it's how you see you, how you see them. It's how you see the people around you. You can love the unlovely. You can have patience with the heartache. You can be long-suffering with the jerks. You can walk in kindness when there's no reason why you should. You can have joy when there's nothing happy in your life. You can have peace when there's nothing peaceful in your life. Because the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And God's got a whole book on your future, a whole new movie script. You go ahead and walk that one out, or you stay where you are in your sucky life, blaming everybody else. You got choices to make, but nobody can change you. Nobody. I was doing some parenting stuff, and I'm going to encourage you to grab them. We did two nights on parenting, teens and kids. First thing I said was this. I said, there's a whole bunch of people here with kids who are pregnant, drug addicted, in jail, and you're looking at yourself, and you're so hurt, you're so embarrassed, you're so ashamed, you're so judging yourself. So before I start teaching how to raise kids, let me set you free. There was only two kids on the whole planet that were raised perfectly by a father. Their names were Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were born into a garden with no pain, no heartache, no past, no mother-in-law, no father-in-law. I mean, no messes, no sin, no heartache. A loving God who walked with them in the cool of the day. This God, that He parented them perfectly. They were born perfectly. And what happened in that perfect family, in that perfect garden, in that perfect home? What happened? They chose anyway to go against God. So to all you parents are here, die to the stupid lie that you're at fault for everything that's going wrong with your kids. Stop it. That's demonic. Were you perfect? No, you weren't. Was I perfect? Not a chance. Thank God there's a God who's the father to the fatherless areas I didn't father in my kids. But so He's doing that probably even now. But now, wherever we are, and however old those kids are, let's learn to believe and to serve and to walk with wisdom. This thing about life, all I'm trying to get across, there's some really mature Christian listening to me right now, and he's going, good message, Leon. It's been a good review. I get tired of comments like that on my messages. Someone will meet me in the hallway and thank you for a good review. It was knew that, but appreciated you reminding me of it. My job's not to remind you of it. My job's light a stick of dynamite under your blessed assurance and get you to get up and change. Your spouse wants it. Your kids want it. Everybody around you wants it. We don't care about what you know. We care about what you do. So to all these mature religious people in the Word, we're tired of your religion. We're tired of what we don't care what you know. Could you change? People are looking at me right now. Dad, could you change? Honey, could you change? The thing about life is not how happy you are. It's how much you change and grow. God's more important looking at, are you changing? Are you growing? Are you focused on Him? Then, is He happy? Is He happy? I told parents, stop saying that. What do you want for your kids? I just want them to be happy. Are you kidding me? They're going to chase happiness? Happiness is a worldly emotion. Joy, that's something that comes out of the Spirit of God. I want my kids to have purpose. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to stand strong in His Word and to help advance His kingdom. Now, if they do that, all these things will follow them. But to start chasing an emotion? No wonder the world's in a mess. There's two movies for your life. What are you going to do? Well, first of all, stop blaming your mom and dad. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming somebody else. You know, and just say, okay, I'm going to begin to look to God for my life, and I'm going to look to God for everybody else's life too and how I see them. Man, does life change for you? I was meeting this guy one time, talking to me here in the church. Had an angry expression on his face, tattoos everywhere. And you know that kind of guy you want to punch just looking at him? Come on. Yeah, that's why you're laughing. You meet somebody and they have this elevated, superior, cynical, you an idiot and I'm everything, that kind of look. And he walked up to me to make a comment on my message. You know, I got a choice. There's two scripts for the next 30 seconds that are ahead of me. The flesh, which is going to be two egos facing off, or I can look to the things of the Spirit. So I go, Jesus, help me, because the old Leon is rising up. Jesus. And in a flash, I knew this man had never been loved. He'd never been hugged. He didn't have a dad like me. He didn't have a mom like me. He wasn't tucked into bed with a prayer and angels all around him. He never tucked into bed, maybe backhanded off the stool. This man has no idea. And as I looked at him through God's eyes, something changed in me. And of course, he came on with his stuff. And the words that I used, just like a sword came out and just, whoosh, 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 whoosh. You mean you took him out? No, I'm not talking about taking him down. I'm talking about love rose up. And he began to die to his arrogance and his pride. And he heard a man who wouldn't rise up against him, but said words that were like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. I looked at him through Jesus' eyes, which all of us have the ability to. You have the ability to look at your spouse through Jesus' eyes. You've got the ability to look at that child that's messing with you right now and see them through Jesus' eyes. And your words will change. Your faith will change. You have the ability to look at this church and find all its problems and things you don't like and look at it through Jesus' eyes. You know what? When a fireman walks into a house and throws you over his shoulder and carries you through the flames with your broken leg and your smoke inhalation and takes you down that ladder and he gets you some oxygen and blows that smoke out of your lungs and he patches up the burns, you don't look at him and say, so, let me fill me in. Do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you dance? And who are you? You don't care what he does. Just thank you. Same is true for seeing someone through Jesus' eyes. Oh, die to your stinking judgments. I don't mean that you allow people to go on, because better are rebukes from a friend than kisses from an enemy. Of course we talk. Of course we speak truth in love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you see on the inside. Let the Spirit of God rise up. Let that second movie script that's been written before you were even born. You know, before the earth's foundation, he knew you were coming. And they prepared a script for your life, a book about you that is so incredible, so beautiful. It's filled with the best marriage, the best sex, the best kids, the best business, the best friendships, the best church, the best living, the best life, the life that's filled with purpose and all that is there. That's written in. He didn't look at one of you poor suckers and go, we're going to just have him marry a real loser. He deserves it. But pen that one in for Roberto over there. No. In Psalms 139, every day of your life is good in God's book. And anytime there's a diversion into sin or a storm comes along that you can't handle and kills, steals, and destroys, and you're laying there wounded and bleeding and naked on that Jericho road, God will intervene and cause all the things the enemy has done to work together for good. He comes in like GPS. You know, you can put your GPS on and you can go in the wrong place. You can be 40 miles off course and that GPS will keep going, turn left, take a U-turn, turn left, make a U-turn. It's still trying to correct you and get you to the right location. Doesn't matter how far off course you are, that Father God's better than a GPS. And you just say, no, we got to get you back towards the original destination today. I want to challenge you. I don't care how old you are and how much you know the Word. I don't care where you are in your marriage or where you are in business or how defeated you are in yourself. Lose. Die to self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Let me say it this way. I am dead to the movie Leon's been walking out. I am crucified. I am dead to that old life, that old movie, that old script that I've been following. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not my script, but I'm following the script of Jesus Christ, who died for me and gave me a life and penned a brand new movie. And that's the one I'm focused on. And I'm telling you, it'll go against everything you've been taught. But to believe in faith, to read God's promises, and to be determined that I will keep my mind set on the things of the Spirit. What'll that take? That's another message. Come back. But remember to be focused on the new script, the new movie, because the only person stopping it is you. The devil doesn't have enough power to stop you, so he'll just try to keep giving you a little push to slide back into your old script, your old words, your old thinking, your old emotions, your old ways. Oh, I got to say one more point. Man, I'm so over time. One last point, because I'm going to help somebody. This is from God for you. When the devil talks to you, you're not aware of it. Because when the devil shoots thoughts into your mind like fiery darts, it doesn't sound like this. Leon, you hate him. Punch him. Now that's the second person. The words come in first person. I hate him. I want to punch him. Are you getting what I'm saying? The thoughts of the enemy that he fires at your mind are in first person, so you think they're your thoughts. I hate this church. I'm quitting. I hate my staff. I'm going to fire them all. I'm not serving God, and I'm going to go do something else. I. The enemy doesn't talk to you with you because that's too easy to figure out. But in your brain, if negative thoughts start to rise up, and it's like you're thinking them, that's the enemy. Just judge it with the word. Does that agree with the word? No? Then the enemy's trying to fire thoughts into your mind. So now I'm depressed. I'm sick. I'm tired of my marriage. I'm tired of this church. I'm tired of my job, my career. He can literally govern your life by dropping I thoughts into your head. And you think it's you. And if you don't know how to shut your emotions down, because emotions aren't truth, emotions come from what you focus on, you'll follow him. Father, help every one of us, I pray. Let this message, it's profound in our lives if we'll follow it. Pray that you'd touch every one of us, that we'd make a decision to see ourselves through your eyes and walk out the script you've written, that we'd see everyone else in our lives through your eyes and believe in them and help them to get out of the cages we've put them in and together walk into victory in the script of our lives, the movie of our lives. Father, I pray this in your mighty name. With every head bowed, I want to lead you in the most powerful prayer I know. It is a prayer of you getting right with God, giving your life to God. Only you can do it. He'll never force himself into your world. So I'm going to lead everybody in this prayer. But if you'd like to be included, just open your eyes for just a minute. And all over this auditorium, just lift your hands up until I see your hand. Just saying, Leon, include me. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ today. All over the auditorium, hands up right now. Just say, yes, Leon, include me. I'm getting right with God. I want to see your hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Usher's helping me. Thank you, thank you. Coming to this side over here. Give me a quick wave. Say, Leon, include me in that prayer. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. As I'm looking right now in the campuses, there's a leader, a pastor at the front, looking for your hand. God has been drawing you. He's the one prompting you, giving you this desire to get right with God. Raise a hand. I'm going to wait just a few more seconds. Anybody else? Thank you. Usher's helping me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, usher at the back. Some hands I can't see, but lights are in my eyes. Ushers are pointing them out. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Somewhere. Thank you. Thank you. Praise. I'm so proud of you. This takes courage. But I refuse to give in to fear. I'm not making decisions in my life anymore with fear. I want to do what I know is good for me. And this is God speaking to you. Anyone else? I'm going to pray. I'll do one last glance around if I haven't seen your hand. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray out loud with these amazing folks. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. who died in my place. He took my sin, my punishment, so I could have His life. So Jesus, come into my heart. You are my Lord and Savior. And I'm following You the rest of my days with Your strength and Your direction. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. It's how beautiful, how powerful that is.